Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, May 19th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV, a place where independent media is still independent. That means no corporate network structure, no advertisements, no extended infomercials for water filters or vitamins or food supplements, and no donations from corporate donors or think tanks. So, independent media, folks, is that what you want? That's what you're getting here. Now, on yesterday's show, before we get started here, we're talking about George Galloway.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point during his testimony, he called Congressman Norm Coleman a lickspittle of George Bush. And we said, we don't know what this is. So a couple people emailed Lisa yesterday and filled her in. So what is a lickspittle?
Three listeners emailed, and this is basically what it is. It's exactly as it's said, lickspittle. Somebody who licks the spittle from another. One person said, in the UK, they have 1,000 years of insults to draw upon, and lickspittle is an old word from the Middle Ages. It means literally to lick the spittle of another. And another person said it means a toady. I guess our American version of it would be bootlicker.
Yeah.
Or a butt kisser. Something like that.
Norm Coleman, lick spittle. I like it. Now, one of our favorite people out there is Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan's one of the last of a dying breed of what is conservatives. Now, lately, the word conservative has got a very bad name, primarily because of the neocons,
mm-hmm.
neoconservatives. But what we want to talk about today a little bit is what actually is conservatism versus neoconism and neoconservatism. And what Buchanan says is that the conservative movement is dead and dying.
Yep, he said it's past history.
Yeah, he said it's broken up, it's crumbled, it's dismantled.
And it's been dismantled by big government people.
Right. He said these are unnamed phonies mm-hmm. who have infiltrated the conservative movement. And as Lisa said, big government people. Now, even though he says unnamed sources, we know who he's talking about. The neocons, who
right.
are really nothing more than Trotskyites. And he also goes on to say that President Nixon, who he worked for, and also both of the Bushes, weren't actually conservatives,
mm-hmm.
nor were the people that spoke at the Republican National Convention.
Right. Schwarzenegger, Pataki, and Schumer?
No, Giuliani.
Giuliani.
Yeah, Rudolph Giuliani. How do you forget a name like Giuliani?
I don't know.
Yeah. So he's saying, really, that people that are parading around calling themselves conservatives actually aren't. So why don't we go into a little bit what the way we see conservatism and the way we see the way government should be. So I'm going to just list some things, Lisa. Give me your comments on them. Are you for bigger government or smaller government?
Well, smaller.
Right. That's what a conservative is for. How about higher taxes or lower taxes?
No brainer. Lower.
Right. I mean, how can you argue with that? Mm. Conservatives want lower taxes. Now, of course, if we look at this administration, they're big government. And even though they proclaim that they're cutting taxes, when Buchanan goes through it, he's showing that actually this isn't truthful, what they're saying.
Also, the article that we read, which was an interview with Buchanan, he talked about how he's very concerned about the morals and how the culture is being destroyed. And he compared today's culture to that of the 50s.
Right.
And he says that today's culture is toxic and poisonous. And he's also very concerned with the illegal immigration issue.
Right. And if you just look at what's happened in the last 50 years, it's very, very dramatic what's happened to our culture.
Yeah.
Now, how about trade? Fair trade. Now, the Bush administration, of course, and the Clintons before them,
mm-hmm.
said that they're all for free trade.
Mm-hmm.
But what the problem is that there's a difference between free trade and fair trade.
Right.
And what's going on now, especially with China, the way they're manipulating their currency and how they have tariffs and so forth, is that we don't have fair trade in this country.
Getting back to the moral issues, he says, Buchanan says, that politicians now are indifferent to moral issues and the Republicans have abdicated from the cultural war. He says that the politicians don't see moral issues as strong majority positions now. What they see as strong issues held by the majority are strong strong national defense and taxes.
Right.
Instead.
Yeah.
And so that's what they lean toward pushing constantly, and they've just basically dropped the ball when it comes to any kind of moral issues, and we've seen that with the murder of Terry Schiavo on both sides of the aisle.
Right, where the... Yeah, all the judges in that case were actually Republican judges that allowed that murder to take place.
Right.
Now, another big issue with conservatives, real conservatives, is abortion. Now, a lot of Democrats will say, well, I voted for Kerry because he wasn't going to outlaw abortion. Or a lot of Republicans said, well, I voted for Bush not because I liked him, but because he is pro-life.
Well, that's supposedly a Christian.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest fallacy there is,
right.
Because other than partial birth abortion, which is a no-brainer, it's the most gruesome operation in the history of the world, the Republicans haven't done anything on abortion in the last 10 years, even though they control the House, the Senate, the judges, and the executive office, the Oval Office. They're doing nothing on abortion. So again, we see another fallacy.
He says, too, that politicians on both sides of the aisle agreed to do nothing about sealing our borders.
Right.
With our national defense, considering we're under all these severe terror threat alerts constantly, both sides of the aisle agreed to leave our borders wide open
right.
for this illegal invasion. And these people, most of them, aren't coming here to assimilate into our culture and adopt our culture. They're coming here, most of them, to work, some of them to commit crimes, and then they intend to go back. So they're not making any kind of assimilation attempts at all.
Right. Now, in the United States of America, the population is approximately 300 million people. Buchanan's saying that by the middle of this century, there's going to be actually more than 100 million Hispanics in this country, plus their birth rate is so much higher than that
yeah.
of the Caucasian culture, where most white people now have either zero kids or one, possibly two children. The Hispanic population is still having 3, 4, 5, 6 kids at a time. So if you just do the mathematics, you're going to see how much their culture, their population is growing compared to the Caucasian. And just a couple of days ago, L.A. elected its first Hispanic mayor in over a century. As they keep moving out across the country, this is going to become more and more frequent.
Right. We want America, not a Mexico.
Right. Yeah. Now, how about this, Lisa? Where would you rather make decisions for you? The federal government, this big, huge, bloated federal government, or decisions made on a local and state level?
Well, obviously at the state level, but see, less and less decisions are made at the
yep.
state level as government expands, as the federal government expands. And the people who want freedom and lower taxes and so forth are making fewer of those decisions.
Right. I mean, even I would like to even go beyond state government and take it down to a local level. And who would you rather be making decisions in your life? Some far-off, remote, bloated bureaucrat in D.C. or the people that actually live in your community? That's what conservatives stand for.
Mm-hmm. And the government's wasting billions of our taxpayer dollars on failed programs, particularly on the Department of Education,
right.
for example. And they just keep spending our money on these failed programs. I think we could maybe put that money to better use, you know.
Exactly. Well, how about foreign policy? Do you think that the United States should engage in every skirmish across the globe?
No.
Or only when
we're threatened.
Right. What conservatives stand for, a foreign policy that's pretty much hands-off.
Right.
But what Bush is doing right now, and the neocons and the globalists, is they have this policy like Woodrow Wilson, who is the absolute worst president ever in the history of this country. He's the one that got us into World War I, which naturally led to World War II. So,
you know, getting back to that failed programs issue, the total federal support for education rose 160%
mm-hmm.
from $37.7 billion in 1990 to $100 billion by 1997.
Yeah.
And this program is failed. It's miserable.
Yeah. And I want to touch upon this in a few minutes, this Department of Education, because it's vitally important to what we're talking about here. But we've already talked now about the borders. We want strong borders, right?
Yes.
We don't want porous borders. How about this? Nationalism versus globalism.
I'll take nationalism
exactly.
over globalism any
that's
day.
That's what conservatives stand for. And finally, how about fiscal responsibility? Do you want your government to operate within its means or beyond its means?
Well, obviously within it.
Yeah. So all of these things now are the foundations of what conservatives stand for. Yet George Bush is spending like a drunken sailor. He's outspending any Democrat that's ever
Listen to this.
In Oval Office.
Alan Perubo wrote a good article, too, and in it he says, "The deficit, last seen headed for the moon, portends bad news for the rest of us. Future Congresses and presidents may use it as an excuse to raise taxes like Clinton did in 1993. He says, federal outlays rose 29% under Bush between fiscal year 2001 and fiscal year 2005.
Now think about that. Think about that. In just 4 years, the size of our government has grown 29%. That's almost one-third in just four simple years. Now, if we go back 9 years, Lisa, to January of 1996, Bill Clinton gave a State of the Union speech, and he said, listen to this, the era of big government is over. Has anybody told this
Maybe
current
Bill's
administration?
World.
Yeah. Now, also right around that time when Bill Clinton was president, Newt Gingrich really became famous with his contract with America. Mm-hmm. And what did he say there was that he wanted to end government that was too big, too intrusive, and too easy spending of the public's money.
Well, Karuba says, he makes some good points in this article, too. He says, after 40 years as the minority party, those who led the GOP had become more like the Democrats than like Republicans.
That's right.
He also says, today the GOP has become the big spenders they decried when the Democrats were in control.
Right.
He says people are noticing the obeisance paid to the party's fundamentalist religious element, and the current Congress seems immune to any kind of fiscal prudence. And he's right.
Yeah. When it comes to money, I think it can all be summed up in one sentence. Don't spend our money.
Yeah.
We don't want you spending our money for us. We want to be the ones to decide how our money is spent. And that's what I always ask people when they say that, they're going to vote for a Democrat or this or socialism or whatever, that's the direction. And I say, okay, you work all week, you get your paycheck on Friday. And you look at it and you see that there's X amount of dollars taken out of it. I says, who do you think has the best decision or should be making the decisions how to spend your money? You, the person at work for it, or these bloated bureaucrats in D.C.? There's not a person that's ever said that they want the bloated bureaucrats in D.C. to spend their money, yet they'll still go out and vote for these Democrats and these high roller, big spending Republicans.
A few more points. He says, today the federal government continues to increase regulations, adding $800 billion to the cost of everything Americans do. He says, spending programs continue to increase, and the so-called entitlement programs are bankrupt and expanding. He says, more federal crimes are being added to the books, and less power is at the state level, as I mentioned before, where our constitutional framers wanted it in the first place.
Right. Do you know what ultimately big government exists for? To make all our decisions for us. They want to assume this fatherly role or even big brother role where no more decisions exist on a local level, the state level. And what they do is they extort these entities by saying either you bow down to us or we're going to withhold our money, your money.
Here, the federal government today resembles an asteroid headed for America at high speed.
Yeah. We have a deficit that's so far out of control. And Dick Cheney said, the deficit, it doesn't matter.
And the economy is good.
Yeah. But if you look at the spending pie and you see that this much is taken every year for interest and the deficit keeps growing, every year this slice of the pie, this interest that's going to the global bankers, just keeps getting bigger. That means there's less money for any other program, or to compensate, they just print more money. That's what they do. So one last thing before we move on. You mentioned, Lisa, the Department of Education. Conservatives say there should be no reason whatsoever that this department should even exist, and I agree completely. I mean, how about George Bush's No Child Left Behind, or like I like to call it, no child left with a mind. Because once they get through this, they don't have a mind left.
Right. It's just perpetuating the dumbing down process.
Right.
Where's all that money going? Our kids can't read.
Yeah. And, again, we'll ask it in the simplest terms. Do you want someone in D.C. to determine the agenda for what your child learns? Or do you want the people in your own community to decide? And the way I would see education, Lisa, is just like right on the free market. Just like restaurants or just like tire manufacturers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let there be as many local schools as you want. Some might specialize in arts, some might specialize in sciences, some might, all these different curriculums. Then let the parents decide if they have a kid that's going to be a mathematician, put them into math school and so forth.
It's
getting
now to the point where parents, you know, hardly have anything to say.
Right.
When it comes to their own children anymore.
Well, it's been taken
healthcare,
out of their...
Healthcare, education.
Yeah. It's taken out of their hands. Mm-hmm. And with the way I see it is, let all these different schools exist and let the parents cater the education to how their child learns. You know, because all kids are different. Why should we put them into this cookie-cutter, no child left behind box where it's just so generic that they all become, well, that's the end result.
Right.
Good cogs in the wheel. That's what they want. Now... Tell me, Lisa, moving on. What do you think of this guy, David Shellberg, out in Scottsdale, Arizona?
David Shellberg is a 75-year-old automotive businessman who is going to be selling Chinese cars beginning in December. He's getting his first shipment of cars in October, and they're going to be low-priced, and he doesn't think that the American public will be reluctant at all to purchase these cars.
Right. Now,
thanks,
auto,
Dave.
Yeah, forecasters in the automotive field didn't expect this.
Yep.
Chinese cars until about 2007, about 2 years down the line. But David Shellberg now has said that by the end of this year, December 2005, he's going to start selling cars by... Do you know the name of the three manufacturers?
I couldn't really pronounce them.
Yeah. Well, they're the three biggest manufacturers.
A lot of X's and Z's.
Yeah. One of them is called Geely. The second one is called Baoding Great Wall Auto Company.
Zhaojing.
And the other one is Zhongjing Auto Company or whatever. So these are the cars that are going to start flooding this country. And where? What states are they going to be in?
They're going to be in Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Arizona, California, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Oregon. He's signed first distribution agreements with three of the largest domestic car companies in China. And... He actually did float right under the radar of the automotive analysts on this one. They weren't expecting this at all. So you're going to get your World Trade Center steel coming back to you.
Yeah. Now, you said they were low priced. What are these cars going to sell for?
About $6,000, $7,000.
Yeah, $6,995. You go out and look at any new car made at Ford or GM, whatever. They're not even anywhere close to that price. Now, just recently, within the last week or two, both the bonds of GM and Ford were classified as junk bonds now. And there's an old saying in this country, the way GM goes is the way America goes. Their bonds are now junk. They're worthless.
Right. So what you're going to see is car dealers who used to sell Lincolns and Mercurys, they're going to start selling these Chinese cars now.
Right.
And it's a damn shame, folks.
Yeah. And plus, GM and Ford are going to be just like the airlines. They can't pay their pension plans. So these people that have worked in the factories in Detroit and so forth for the last 40 years, one of these days the rug's going to get pulled out from under them and they're going to say, you don't have a pension plan here anymore. We're going to have to let the government pick it up. Well, the government's going to pay only a small percentage of it.
Now, the whole thing is the Chinese don't want to lose face in the United States, so they're planning on doing this big promotional push to get these cars out on the market and make them appealing to the American people because they want these to be a success. China does. I would like to see China lose face on these. I really would.
Yeah. Oh, and there's... They're
by American.
Yeah, their propagandists are already coming out. A guy named William Mayo. And he says he doesn't think Americans will have any reluctance whatsoever to buy Chinese cars. When asked why, he says, well, everything's made in China already.
Yeah.
Why would they care about buying low-priced cars that are made in China?
William Mayo used to sell Lincolns and Mercurys.
Yeah. So
sold out to China.
Yeah. What's happening here, folks, is if you look at Walmart, it's the whole Walmart syndrome again, and we've talked about that many times in this show. I recently found out that 80% of the distributors that put products on Walmart shelves across the country, 80% of the distributors and manufacturers are Chinese companies. 80% of them. So we have this Walmart syndrome already where everything's made overseas. And I was talking to someone today that's in the prison business, building prisons. And he said it's one of the fastest growing industries in the country. I said, I think it might be the fastest growing. And I says, when you think about it, what's happening to our world? First of all, our jobs are being outsourced to China, right? And what kind of workers do they have over there?
Slaves.
Slave laborers. Now, also, in the southwest of our country, in Texas, all across the border, we have Mexicans coming in that are working for virtually nothing. What does that make them?
Slaves.
Slaves. Also now, and this is one of the dirty little secrets that the prison industry doesn't like to know, they have the prisoners manufacturing a lot of products now.
Right.
Signs, tables, equipment, and so forth. What are their prisoners are making like 22 cents an hour or something.
Mm-hmm.
What does that make them?
Slaves.
So we have slave labor in China, slave labor in other third world countries, slave labor coming across the border from Mexico and Colombia, and slave labor in the prisons.
And at the rate we're being taxed, guess who else is slaves too?
Yeah. So what does that do to our standard of living? Straight down into the toilet. It's like Ross Perot. He says he can hear that big flushing sound.
Boycott Walmart. Boycott Chinese products.
Yeah.
Buy American.
Yeah. And
support
you can do
American
it.
Businesses.
Yeah. Don't go to Walmart. I always use this analogy, Lisa. It's like a cow deliberately walking into a slaughterhouse knowing that it's going to get killed.
Right.
If you shop at Walmart, that's what you're doing.
And make sure that on these Patriot networks that you listen to, that the products that they are promoting are American products and
right.
not British products with American distributors like Berkey water filters,
right.
which is really Berkfeld water filters. So
right.
you need to check that out. That's a British company with American distributors.
Right. So folks, we're going to be back tomorrow on Wing TV. It's going to be Friday already tomorrow.
Right, and today is day 13 since we issued Alex Jones the challenge to answer our questions. Of course, Alex Jones is avoiding us like the plague.
Yes.
But we are just keeping you up to date.
Right. And also, Wing TV homepage, an article about the 9/11 pods and where they fit into the whole scheme of things. And tomorrow, folks, we're going to have an article on the homepage that's going to be another bomb. This one's going to explode all over the place.
Yeah.
So take a look at that.
Some people aren't going to like it too much.
It's going to cause some ripples. But if you want an independent media has to take risks. And they can't cow under.
Independent media has to hold itself to a higher standard than the mainstream, or we're just like them. And if the rest of this independent media refuses to do it, we will.
Right. Keep your eyes open, folks. We'll see you tomorrow again on Wing TV.
Have a great day.